Blog Talk Radio. Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna break the table tonight. Give it to them, and I'ma give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing. What's my dog on her? There ain't no dog on tomorrow, brother. We gonna do it today, and we gonna do it.
Hold up, man up.
What are you? I'm complicit.
It's time to man up, man up.
All right, everybody.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I'm you.
Just answer the damn question.
Man up.
Behold them. Life. Real life.
That's what real men do.
Man up.
Shadow.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? What's going on? Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Once again, for those checking out the show, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Nas. And then we got my brother Ed in the house. Hey, Ed, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Eddie, what's good, man?
All right, brother Eddie's in the building. Of course, I believe we have the lovely Miss Sonia online from Raven's Talk Show is online. Is that correct?
Yes, I am here. What's up? It is Friday, baby.
Amen. Hey, brother Eddie, man. Before, I mean, I had to play that little Tupac segment because I sat and I was listening to the lyrics. He said something that just kind of, you know, for those just checking us out, you know, it's the Man of Talk Show. You got, you know, real strong people that checks in and is on the panel and just gives their reality to everyday experiences. And the talk show tonight is about only God can judge me. But to get back to what Tupac said, he said something, Brother Eddie, that he said something, in my mind, a blind man doing time, I look to my future because in my past, it's all behind me. And he said that. I kept rewinding. I'm like, for a brother that's been in the game and doing what he did, the man was actually deep. The man was deep. People don't even know or understand that. You know, the Tupac was beyond his time. You know, some of the things, you know, I disagree with what he was saying and some of the things he's done. But at the end of the day, he said some things that sometimes made you think. And a lot of guys don't, a lot of women, a lot of listeners don't understand that Tupac was very deep as an individual. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, based off our last week's discussion, when you said, you know, we got kind of dabbed into about the church and God, and I just felt that, you know what, We as people, we judge each other too damn much.
I agree. I agree.
Exactly.
I definitely agree. And then I did the research this week, and I just found, like, it's crazy in America. You have all these pastors, pastors, preachers, reverends, what else? What other titles are there in the religious-based space?
Christian
folks. Yeah. And for those who are checking us out, listen, please do not take offense to it. We're just speaking from reality. We're just speaking from our point of views and how we perceive certain things. So to each his own. If the shoe fits.
Well, that's him being nice. Please take offense to it. If you do take offense. So first of all, you don't get offended about things that aren't truthful.
Exactly.
So if people say things that are about you that's not true, you wouldn't get offended. So please take offense to it.
You have some rabbis and some pastors throwing rocks in my windows, brother.
and I'm gonna start off by first helping anyone understand that we are not here to bash Christians. First of all, I am a Christian. That is my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That is my study. Mm-hmm. That is where I'm at in life. So I'm just here to speak truth. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here just to enlighten people and help them understand what the reality of what reality is. So before you guys make assumptions like we do about people,
exactly.
About this show, just know mm-hmm. where I'm coming from. I'm coming from love and from Christianity as my
mm-hmm.
source. In my foundation of worship. So.
Well, thanks,
go.
Eddie. I mean, we ain't friends. I thought we were friends. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
I thought we were friends. But no, I have to co-sign with him on that. It's not about us sitting here passing judgment on anybody. Just like Tupac said, only God can judge us. But in the same sense, if something hits a certain button in you while we're having this discussion, then that probably is what you're doing. You know, you're guilty of it. So if it's a hot button for you, or you sitting there, as Steve Harvey would say, don't be sitting in your seat and your butt cheeks tighten up. That means you doing something. You're guilty of whatever it is that we just hit a button on. So, hey. Let the chips fall where they may. That's all I gotta say.
I hear you. I mean, you know, I I'm like yourself, brother Eddie. I'm a Christian man, but you know, I have my ways and my wayward ways. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up, real talk. You know, and sometimes, like you said, I've sat inside a church and I felt like you were talking to me, and maybe it was talking to me. You know, maybe it was, and I had to eat it and deal with it. And face that reality. So I do understand that. You know, when you said that, I like that because you know when you hear a lot of brothers or sisters say, they were talking to me, they were always singling me out. Well, they weren't singling you out if the congregation's over 500 and you felt they were talking to you directly, maybe some of you
yourself
right. off.
Exactly.
So,
that's right.
So I can relate to that. I can relate to that. But at the same time, I have an issue. You know, not being judgmental, I have an issue with people passing judgment, you know, on their fellow man, but not understanding what this person may have been through or what they've gone through in life. They're passing judgment, saying, well, you know, and I hate to say this, they use God or the Bible or the Quran or whatever a biblical book that their faith is coming from to say, well, you know, God says you need to do this, you need to do that. Like, well, damn, why are you judging me? Why are you judging me? Why are you using the Bible to set off your point? I mean, you know, that's my only issue. But these are the same people, you know, like I said, if the shoe fits, the same
mm-hmm.
people who will not open their door or even help out those in the street, won't even let them into the church. Well, you're not of the church. We can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much as that, Ness, it's more also you have that double-edged sword where you see that person, whether it's
it's a woman who's a prostitute or a crackhead or a drug dealer, and knowing you see them every day, knowing those could have been the same people or probably was the same people in your crew that you ran with. So now all of a sudden you got saved, so now you're holier than thou and you can't help them. Uh-uh. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that.
I think we touched on a little of that last week, Eddie. I think we just touched a little bit on that. I remember that part. How you know people forget about what he used to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, man. All I'm doing is sitting down right now, writing stuff and letting stuff build. I'm gonna let y'all go ahead and vent. And then I'm going in. So y'all do what y'all got to do, man.
No, listen. You know how you give me started.
Okay, wait. Why you sit back? We all in this boat together. Come on.
He's getting ready. It's like a quiet.
I'm taking notes. I'm listening and nodding my head, and you'll be shocked. But I'm going to start at the beginning of the show.
But those listeners just checking us out, once again, welcome to the Male Talk Show. You know, we got Brother Eddie, yours truly, Nass, and Sonya of Baby's Talk Show. You know, the topic right now, we're talking only God can judge me. We're talking about hypocrisies in faith, religion, people, falsehood, throwing stones at glass houses. And Brother Eddie's in the background right now. He's getting his notes together because, you know, let me explain to those who are just checking us out. And I understand we got a couple people in North Carolina. Welcome on, checking out the show. Brother Eddie is that type of time bomb, I call it. When he drops it, you got to kind of step back. Damn, I let the damn bomb loose. But, you know, he's a good brother. He talks reality, and this is what the show's about. Just reality. Yeah. Reality, you know, and he gives you perspective that makes you look at, you know, because like he said before, and then Raven, you know about this, Raven, sorry, I keep calling you, sorry, I apologize.
That's okay, I'll answer
but,
the phone.
There you go. He said things that what we do, common sense, he gives us that, well, you know what, what works different with different people is not common sense, mm-hmm. You know, because what my life, what I've done can't be common sense compared to somebody else, and what he does, he gives you another perspective to look at. You know what you've been doing, you're looking at it from how you grew up. Just open your mind. Look at it from another angle.
Exactly.
And you know, I'll tell them on the show again. Love you, but can't stand you. but it's reality. It's reality. This show's about reality, and sitting at the round table and getting to talk on. But you know, getting back to what you were talking about, only God can judge me. You know, let me ask you something from you. Have you ever get around people, they look at you, and they're already judging you already.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their perception. What do they say? Perception is reality?
Yes. There's a saying that says one man's perception is another man's reality. And I've been around that so much that at one point I was beginning to think, okay, is it me? But then I realized it's not me, it's them. Their perception is screwed up because they haven't taken the time to figure out who I am. They have yet to figure out or even take the time to sit down and say, you know what, can we have a conversation? I just want to get to know you. I just want to get to see where your head is at. And when we start to do that as a community, I think we would be a whole lot better because of you take the time to get to know a person, then you will not be so quick to judge that person. You won't be so quick to pass your, quote-unquote, your views on, well, this is how that person should live. No, that's how you think they should live. Whatever makes a person happy, you just say, you know what, okay, that's your life. I support you. Anytime you want to change, I'm right there with you. But you're not supposed to sit there and tell somebody, well, this is how you're supposed to live or this is how you should live. Uh-uh. Whatever makes them happy, that's what is going to make them happy. So
I agree. No, I agree totally because, you know, and I think that goes for just everyday life that we live. So me personally, you know, all right, you know, when I walk into a room, I get either, first of all, it depends on what I'm wearing. Just real talk. If I'm wearing a hoodie, I got my jeans on, and maybe I got some Tims on, automatically I'm a thug or a drug dealer.
Mm.
All right, I just got out of jail. This man is 240. You know, he's a husky big guy. He just got out of jail. That's a perception. I already been judged. Mm-hmm. Not so much even having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. You know, and a lot of our black listeners and white listeners, you know, these are realities.
Mm-hmm.
There's still racism.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
No doubt. I think it's racism on both ends. That's just my opinion, but I'm pretty sure Brother Eddie's going to get us with it. I know that, but it's just my perspective. You know, we're judged from the gate, from the door, black, white, and even reverse. Even our people, our African-Americans, mm-hmm. black people, we judge white people as well, or Caucasians, or people of other nationalities. You know, he thinks I'm out here stealing in the mall. Maybe not. They're not looking at you like that. Maybe it's your insecurity, your issues, you're dealing with. You know, so I definitely can relate to that. As soon as you're meeting someone, they already look at you. They're not even getting a chance to get to know you and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And past. So now when I look at people, I try not to judge. I mean, I'm guilty. I am guilty of it, and I'm gonna put it on the table right here and now. I have been guilty of doing that.
Oh, I think we all have. I mean, if anybody sits here and says that they haven't, okay, you know what? We all going to put the phone down and wait till the lightning come through the phone. Because we've all done it. We've all done it.
Yeah.
And if you can't sit here again, as the show is titled, Man Up, and that's for us as women, if we can't sit and say, yeah, I've done it, I know I've done it. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, hi, my name is Sonia, and I've done it. So, you know, I've done it. But I've also been on the flip side, where people who don't even know me will see me the way I dress, because I dress very conservatively. I'm not one that dressed to show off anything or advertise anything. I dress as a classy woman. I dress as a sophisticated woman. I dress because that's what makes me comfortable. That's how I feel. And I'm already judged from the door. Okay, well, she Miss Goody Two Shoes, or you know, or she bougie. No, it's not that. I was born and raised in Brick City. Hello, I'm a product of Brick City, but it's just the fact that I use the bricks to my advantage. Those were my stepping stones. Those were my foundations so that I was able to move out of the hood and live in a better community, but I still have my street cred, but at the same time, I know when to use it, how to use it, and the appropriate time when it needs to come out. Not every day do I need to sit up here and talk hood. I don't need to sit here and dress like I'm from the hood. No. Yes, I'm from Brick City, Newark. Everybody who knows that I'm from Brick City. I love Brick City, but I live in a better community now. So... if you don't take the time to sit and know me or talk to me, you won't know that from the door. Oh, don't talk to her because she's walking in with her Coach bag, or she's walking in with her, she don't have her cleavage exposed, so she don't know our struggle. Yeah, I know your struggle, but I didn't struggle as most people did, but I had my struggles, my family struggled.
So,
you don't know.
You got it off your chest. You're all right. You need a hug.
Dude,
you need a hug.
No, but I get a little heated. No, I get heated.
You're hot right now.
No, I get heated when people do that, because they don't know who I am. They don't know I bust my butt just like everybody else, but then you have the right to stand before me and call me bougie, or stand in front of me and tell me, oh, you ain't from the hood. You don't know what we go through. You don't know that. You don't know what I go through. You don't know that I was bullied as a child. You don't know that I seen people close to me in domestic violence situations, a product of a domestic violence situation. You don't know that. You don't know my struggle. You don't know, yes, my mother took us to church every Sunday. Oh, can I just tell you how I hated that? But I knew that was my foundation to continue my walk in my faith as a Christian. Yeah, I backslided just like everybody else, but I never slid where I could not never go back to God and ask for forgiveness, ask for my deliverance, ask for my redemption. So, I backslide just like everybody else. I fall. I get back up. I ask for what I need. And, yes, I've been blessed. I've been blessed 20 times over that no person should have ever been blessed. I should not have been here on this phone talking to you, but I am. But I'm not much more.
I thought you weren't mad. I thought you weren't hot.
We're not gonna tell people how I have my vampire powers taken away. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were getting heated. I thought you weren't hot. You just went in. Come on, man. You are hot. Yeah. You mad. It's cool.
No, but it's just the fact that it got it going. But this is the fact that when we all talked about doing this topic, I was like, oh yeah, I'm ready for it, because it just, how can I put this? It pisses me off to the highest of festivity. Pisses me off to the highest of pistivity, if that is a word. If not, it's a new word we add into the Webster Dictionary. Because when people see me, I'm like Ness. That's the first thing they think of. If you talk to me, you'll know. You know my struggle. Just don't automatically say, oh, well, she's Miss Goody Two Shoes. Oh, she's a Christian woman. And yeah, I'm a Christian woman, but hey, I know how to be a freak behind closed doors. Come on.
Oh, wait a
minute. Oh my goodness. All right.
Oh my goodness.
Come on now. I put on my sweatshirt, I put on my jeans, and I put on my baseball cap backwards just like the hood. Come on. I'm not a chicken head, but come on. I carry myself in a manner that I was raised to act like a woman, act like a lady, act like I have some home training.
Now, Sonya, let me ask you a question. You said something.
Yeah.
You said something earlier. You said, all right, people look at you. Now, reverse it. Do we have a right to judge someone? They say they walk into the church. We say you're in church, or let's say you had a social event.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got a woman walking in. Everybody's wearing tux and nice gowns. You got this woman walking in. Six-inch heels on. The skirt and the thing is so tight, you can see the veins on the body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so high, and she got so much cleavage out that, excuse my listeners, you got the every yellow popping out. And she got this deep lifting on, and everything she talks about is like, yeah, what's up, son? And she got a tattoo on her neck. Do we have the right to judge? No, we sure don't.
I mean, the question was, do we have the right? Huh?
Yes. That's a good part of the question. Do we have the right? I agree with you. Two.
No, we don't, but we do.
We do it anyway.
Yeah, people do it anyway. This is a problem. Okay, now is my chance to go in. So where are we gonna go in? Are we gonna go in from what the problem is with the church, or are we going to just talk about the problems of the church? Like, where do you want me to start from?
Let's do it direct head on. Let's talk about the problems of the church. Let's go straight
in. Okay. All right. The problems of the church. This is the problem with the church. Problems with the church is the fact that the church is supposed to be a hospital, a place for sick people to go and get healed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we keep the sick people out, and we keep the people that are almost, that have just left the intensive care unit, and now they're steady, and we deal with those people, and we try to help them get better. We kind of put them into their rehab and getting their personal training to strengthen their limbs and stuff up. But the people that are sick is like, no, you can't come in here. You gay. You're not allowed in here. We're not helping y'all. Nah, you're a drug dealer. We're not helping you. Nah, you curse too much. We're not helping you. Nah, you wearing your clothes that way. We're not helping you. So we don't deal with those people. So we keep people that sick out there sick and getting everybody else affected, and we keep the people that are doing well, and we see their vital signs going up inside the church, and we build from that, which is terrible because we're a hospital, and we're supposed to be feeding six people.
Mm.
Now, then you have the churches that that do allow sick people to come in, but you have people that are, let's say, you have your immature Christian, you have your... you have your Christian that that that's a newborn Christian. Then you have the Christian that is just like their teenage Christian. Then you got the adult Christian. Then you got the mature and the wise Christian. Now, the problem with the church is you can't see who is what because nobody wears a different badge saying that, hey, I'm a mature Christian, I am a child Christian, I am what have you. So we start, the people are in the church looking at people, not knowing their status, and passing judgment. So somebody just got saved, and you're looking at them like, what are you doing? You should know better. As a Christian, you don't dress like that. You don't talk like that. And now you just scared the newborn Christian out of the church.
Man, you need to throw in some bombs in that one because there were some bombs. He just did some landmines.
There's no way, and this is why you should not judge. There's no way that you can determine where somebody is in their walk. So if you assume that everybody's at the beginning of their walk, everybody can grow because everybody will be pushing everybody along and helping everybody to get to a better place. But people go into church, even the newfound Christians. Now, see, that's the problem. The people that just got into the church, they looking at other people and assuming because they're in the church that they've been in the church and they got high expectations for them. So then they say Christians are hypocrites and they leave the church. Because, again, we don't know where everybody is in their walk.
Walk, exactly.
So you walked in the church and you saw people coming out the church that just came in the church, but they leaving to go home, and they did something that you was like, see, that's what I'm talking about, them Christians. So everybody's judging and keeping each other from growing. This is the problem.
Exactly.
Because everybody's judging, nobody's growing. Because nobody knows where they are in each other's walk. So if everybody comes and concludes that everybody's at the beginning of their walk, we can all grow because we'll all be trying to strengthen and motivate each and everyone to do better and build themselves up in the faith.
That's true. No, that's true, bro.
So instead of seeing that young lady and with that short skirt on, just like we talked about last week, and trying to build a relationship so she can feel comfortable with you and say, and you eventually show her that, hey, sweetie, I got some clothes for you, or this is a place where, you know, that could be kind of tempting, sweetie. I know you mean well, and hell, I'm not even sure if that's the only amount of clothes that you have. Because all you know, this young lady might feel embarrassed to be in church, but she's like, I just want to go.
Right.
I just got to get there. That could be the only clothes she got, but you look at her up and now she's already insecure about her outfit, and now you pushed her away.
You know what?
There's a young lady who just got a role as I told you I was going in. I ain't gonna get too much words now. I gave you a chance. There's a young lady who called me, and she's a new praise and worship leader, and she was frustrated that this young lady, she always wore tight clothes and revealing clothes on the praise and worship team, and she was saying how disrespectful it was, and that the girl needs to get her outfits and stuff together, whatever. I said, whoa. First of all, you don't know what that girl money is like for you to be trying to change y'all wardrobe up every week. I said, and two, if it's that deep, why in the world don't you just get the choir robes? Get robes.
Exactly.
Well, our funds aren't like that in the church. Well, her funds ain't like that at the crib. And she probably don't know better. You talking off, first of all, I don't even know the lady. I don't go to your church, so how do I even get in this conversation about you talking about the lady? So I can imagine what you're doing in your own church about the lady.
Because
you came to me about it.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's the problem in the church. What can we do to better stop judging people? I'm glad that y'all asked me. This is what you can do to stop judging. This is what I had to do to help people, to help myself stop judging people. Because I used to be, a long while ago, I used to be the same type of person. But what you do to keep yourself from judging other people. Y'all listening closely? Because I'm about to be on serious gym.
Let's go.
What you do to keep yourself from judging other people is equate their weakness with your weakness.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
So if you have a problem with porn and they have a problem with crack, for the most part, people are like, oh, my gosh, I can't understand. You a crackhead. What is wrong with you? But you got your own habit over here that, you know, put it this way. What people tend to do is they will go in on you about your sin if it's a strong, if it's something that they strong over, like it's something they got a hold over. If you don't have a problem with tithing or, I mean, with cursing, but you have but you and you hear somebody else cursing, you're like, what is wrong with you? Y'all need to get it together. Y'all, but trifling, you call yourself a Christian, but then you go over there and you smoke.
Oh,
and when people bring it up smoking, you be like, oh, well, I mean, I'm working on me. I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. You know, all them little things come up when you got your little weakness or whatever. Instead of equating your weakness to their weakness and saying, I understand where you're coming from, we say, I'm strong in that, so I'm going to talk about people with this. And then when people start talking about this, homosexuality, which I've been struggling with, I'm just going to shut up over here.
Okay.
I ain't going to talk about that. I'm going to hide in my little corner. I ain't gonna talk too much about it. But when soon as they hear about something that people have they're weak with, but they're strong about, they go in. That's what a lot of Christians like to do. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? You need to get it together. You don't cross your legs. I'm like, yeah, judge it. But then when you find out what their weakness is, they don't want to talk about it. Is working on me. God is working on me. Because that's their weakness. You don't want to get called out about your weakness, but you do want to show people what your strengths are. People love to talk about what your strengths are. See, and with the Christians, what we need to do is, and I'm going back to the beginning of the show. Remember, you said Tupac was he was a great guy. A lot of people they don't talk about. I mean, they kind of look at his lifestyle and how he did things, and they disregard the fact that he was a very brilliant and wise man. See, that's where the church fails. If you name any prophet in the Bible, they all had the same struggles that Tupac had. See, but the church only talks about the great things that they did. They talk about the great things that David did, the heart of David, but they didn't talk about the fact that David was sleeping with a whole bunch of women. They had children out of wedlock and all that stuff like that. They don't talk about that. They never talk about the prophets that were the murderers and all that stuff like that. They never talk about the stuff that they did prior to getting to where they were. So it causes us, the listeners, but that's our fault too now because we're not reading our Bibles.
So let's
get it clear. Don't get it twisted. Don't think it's one sided because I'm always going to show you both sides of the picture.
So the
problem is they never tell you how their struggles and their flaws or whatever, and it causes you to think that, oh, they were perfect. So I have to be perfect, and I can't add up, so I can't do this whole Christianity thing or following Christ thing because that's just not me. First of all, what you need to understand is Christ came because you couldn't do all that stuff. That's the first thing people need to understand. Second of all, again, if you read your own Bible, you'll find out that those people that they put on a pedestal had their issues. Whether it was cursing, whether they snapped off a lot, whether they ripped up churches and all kinds of stuff and talked bad about people and dealt with prostitutes and had sex out of wedlock and all that stuff, that is all in the Bible. All these saints and Marks and Lukes and Johns and all that stuff like that, every single one of them had problems. You just got to look it up.
But Eddie, I mean, I'm with you 110%, and you know the churches, you know, the churches out here. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful churches, a lot of beautiful pastors and preachers. Here's my thing: why don't they talk about the bad of them? Why a lot of these churches or pastors or reverends or preachers or rabbis, whatever, talk about the bad of these prophets or those of the past, you know, always glorifying the positive? You know, because sometimes a person like myself or those who's trying to get, I guess, called, come back to the hospital to get that treatment when they go to the church, you know, we want to hear about the dark side because it helps us deal with our situation. It gives us something to relate to.
And to answer your question, I'm going to say this. Because they're so caught up, I'm going to say two things. One, they have no kind of marketing skills whatsoever. No sales skills or marketing skills whatsoever. And for the same reason that you just said, the real people want you to speak the real to them so that they can relate and then want to come to your church. But you're so caught up in packaging everything as beautiful and perfect that you're losing out on people that you can possibly or potentially relate to.
Exactly.
So that's why they do it, because Christianity is a wonderful and a beautiful religion, but everything that is beautiful has some dirt around it.
Like flowers.
Everything that's beautiful, and you get deep down to the core of it, to get to that beauty, you go through some stuff, some dirt, some grime, to get to the beauty. And what they do is, that just hit me. Thank you, God. It's no different than the rappers on the TV show. What do they show you in their videos? The glamour. The end result.
The result, yep.
They never show you them grinding for 6 years, selling tapes in the back of their cars, struggling, not being able to eat, and doing whatever, causing the children or the people that's watching TV to think that that's all that comes with rap, hip-hop, R&B, whatever you want to call it, from television. Okay, so when you see the end result, soon as you start grinding and people saying no for 2 months, you like, this ain't for me.
Exactly.
Whereas had they told you that, this is a struggle, son, you going to be doing this for a minute. You're going to get a lot of no's. You're going to spend a lot of your own money. You're going to be doing a lot of free gigs. You're going to have your girl in your ear saying, this junk don't work. You ain't paying no bills. What is this about this dream that you're trying to do or whatever to keep you from doing what your dreams are? And they quit. And that's exactly what happens in Christianity. The pastor sitting on the pulpit telling the end of the story, the beautiful end, how Jesus wins and all this stuff like that. And when you get saved, life is so much better because you get to go to heaven in eternity or what have you, but they never tell you the grime, the struggle, the stuff that you got to go through to appreciate and even understand what Christianity is about. They don't talk about how Jesus said, yo, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and pick up your cross. The symbol of the cross means that you're about to die. You're about to get ridiculed. You about to get spat on, talked junk to, all that stuff like that. That is what the cross is about. Jesus was real about it. Why can't the pastor be real about it?
Exactly.
I'm glad you said that. You said Jesus was real about it. I mean, my understanding, Jesus was about going out in the community. He was going to the wayward. He was helping those in.
Exactly.
In the hood.
All right, so now I got to go back to the point where Raven was talking about her saying that she's bilingual. Yes, that's not her exact words, but that's what she meant when she said that I can speak hood. I turn my hat backwards. I can get down with the get down, but I know when and where to do stuff.
Exactly.
Jesus did the same thing when he spoke in parables. He went and he spoke to people in their language. When he spoke to farmers, he spoke parables about farming so that they could understand and relate to what it is that they were talking about. I can't stand when I go to a church and a pastor is preaching from the Bible, and then he goes to a scripture to refer or reference what he's preaching in the Bible. We already don't know what the hell you're talking about. So why would you go and reference the Bible to help me understand my life right now? That is
exactly.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And Jesus, like I said, Jesus went and he spoke now. Now, I had a dude try to hit me with common sense. Common sense in the Bible, first of all, no, it's not. And if you go and look for, if you find common sense in the Bible, I guarantee you, you went like 5, 6, 7 Bibles to where they have the whole, you know, it's a difference. We can't go that deep into it right now. It's a difference in translation and transliteration, meaning literally translating the words in the Bible. Some people change words to make you understand it the way that they comprehended it. It doesn't necessarily mean that you translated what was said in the Bible. So, with that being said, when Jesus spoke in parables, if you read the Bible, you will find that Jesus, that the disciples was like, yo, Jesus, what were you talking about when you said this? Which meant when Jesus was speaking to those people, those layman people, which is what we would probably call it, or the people out in the streets that pastors don't won't go and touch them because they're dirty. What happened was after Jesus went and spoke to them, the disciples needed to understand. They were like, what were you talking about? So he had to break down what he was saying to the disciples because they didn't get it because they didn't speak the dialect that the people that he was talking to were speaking, i.e. Ebonics or Hood or being bilingual like Sonya just said that she was. I turn mine on and off. I, like my man Nas, I have a whole different, it depends on how I feel, depending on what I wear. But I've been killing stereotypes all my life. I remember I used to go to insurance places and go in with my wife beater on and my brands and my tattoos showing and a Tim's and some shorts on, and I ask them something about their life insurance or something like that, and they'll tell me something, and I will break their whole thing down, tell them how they're lying and they're wrong, and then their eyes get all big, and I walk out the store. Because they tried to sell me on something, because they sell me on stuff that they thought I didn't understand, and allowed me to do what it is now. Now, y'all got happy on that story. That's exactly what y'all doing when y'all go to these churches and y'all not reading y'all own Bible. Y'all letting them sell y'all on stuff that y'all don't even know yourself, and y'all taking it as the gospel, and then the person slips up because you worship them as the God as opposed to the person that's just supposed to be sending a message from God.
Exactly.
Because you weren't reading the message from God yourself. You got all caught up in them, and when they fall, you quit the whole church and the whole spirituality because you was worshiping them and you wasn't worshiping God.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, you deserve the applause on that one because that's reality. That's it. Because we're so, I'm going to say it, we're so hell-bent, if I'm saying the term correctly, in a lot of our communities. We go to church and we think what the pastor is saying or whoever's up there, when he says his goal, like you said, we're not taking the time to do knowledge of self.
Exactly. How you know he's telling the truth?
Exactly.
How you know if you're not reading it yourself? That is crazy.
The pastor said it. I can't stand that. That's just me going. I'm like, if another person tells me, well, the pastor said, he's a man of God, how do we know he's a man of God? Because he's reading it. Remember, this is also in some of the churches, I'm going to say it, it's a business. It is a business. He gets paid to do a job. That's what it is. And at least I met one man, I think one pastor, who actually said, you know what, he admitted, listen, this is a business. Pastor C. Wright, George C. Wright in New Brunswick actually said that to people. This is a business. But I understand I help souls and I help people. So I cannot, take money and I'm not doing my job. He used it in real basic terms, things that I can relate to and the everyday person relates to. And I was sitting right next to God. It was a couple other brothers that was from the college in Rutgers. And I was with my family. But I can relate to that. He put it in layman's terms that I can relate to it. He didn't go to the scripture. So I definitely understand when you say you wouldn't pass to say, they'll say something, a lesson, or try to do a lesson. Then they go to the scripture, and he's like, hold up, man. What the hell are you talking about?
Come on, man. Yeah. Talk to me, man. You're not talking to your colleagues that study the whole, everything behind this. I need you to talk to me. How does this pertain to my situation? That's
right.
Why kids are getting D's and E's, because the teacher's doing the same mess. They're teaching the stuff. The kids are already going in class saying, this ain't got nothing to do with what I want to do when I get when I become older.
Exactly.
We just telling the kids, shut up, you're supposed to just learn it anyway, as opposed to trying to find a way to link it to something that they already enjoy so they can start taking it seriously and wanting to read or learn whatever it is that's being taught.
Now I agree with you. Now, what about the same people who go to church, but they're judging, they're looking for everything wrong in the church, so they try to find reasons and not to go to church or even have faith. You know, they're doing the reverse. You know what I'm saying? There's guys in the hood that I've spoken to. You know, listen, if you don't believe in God, you don't have no peace, that's on you, brother. I'm not trying to force that your throat.
Mm-hmm.
But I got guys that I know from the hood that is so quick to judge those who's trying to change your life. Those who, well, the pastor, he's pushing a Mercedes. They're looking for everything wrong what's happening in the church or in faith. Or when someone says, you know, God bless you, I don't want to hear that. I even seen on Facebook a couple of times, and, you know, that's a whole other subject about Facebook, how it's got crazy. It's a whole other issue. But I've seen guys, people put up their motivational things, you know, I have, you have, Sonia have, and then I see the negativity of other people. I hate when people put up about God this and God that, because they have, like you said earlier in the show, because they have their own personal issues. But they're doing the same thing that some of our people of the faith is doing. They're judging. But, you know, from the hood standpoint, and to me, that's wrong. You didn't pick the Bible, or maybe something happened in your life, you just gave up on God, or you just gave up, period.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's start here. First of all, it's all in people's perception. If you have if your pastor is a full-time worker, why would he not get a full-time paycheck and buy the daggone cars that he want to do? Why are you hating on how he hustled? He used his money to invest in his stuff.
When
that is the job of the pastor. He's a full-time pastor. That's all he do. That's his job.
Right.
That is his job. Why can't he buy something with his job? But because you work at a food store and you decide to buy a limousine with your funds and not pay your daggone rent, you got all the daggone new phones, all the new stuff when you got a job that clearly says you shouldn't have the stuff that you got.
Hello.
My question to those type of people is, why wouldn't and why shouldn't a person whose job is to glorify God not have everything that this world has to offer? Why
Amen.
Not? Why wouldn't God bless that person? Please
Amen.
Help me understand
Amen.
That.
Exactly.
Exactly. I'm glad you said it to him, because I got a couple of listeners. Like I said, if the shoe fits, wear it. That's
exactly.
It's a job. You know, this man or woman, they're doing a full-time job. So why can't they receive the blessing like you're saying? Like you said, there's some people. That's a whole other topic. Like I said, you two have walking topics. you know, people spending outside their means. You live in the projects. You're in the projects. But you're pushing the latest Mercedes in Escalade in the projects.
Let's wrap our minds around this. We give high fives to people 40 inches in apartments, but we got a beef with the daggone pastor that's doing his thing. Your hustle is whatever your hustle is. I don't care what it is. It could be just a regular day-to-day hustle. You a janitor, or you working at a food store, or a grocery store, or whatever. If you get elect, you the man. The pastor get elect, he is stealing from the church. How does that work?
Wait. Let me flip it. How is it that the pastor get a blessing and have a nice home when you're pushing a Range Rover and you living in the basement and not paying anybody no rent? Hello.
But you the man. You the man.
The
for his Range Rover and you got yours. How'd you get yours? Can I see your taxes, please?
Wait, we're not even going to go that far. How about the 5 baby mamas and the 12 kids?
Hey.
And ain't nobody paying child support.
Okay, that's a whole other topic.
Okay, I'm just saying, since we're going there, let's go there.
Mm-hmm,
Let's go there.
You see
a pastor who's a family man spending time with his family, married his baby mama, but you're going to sit here and have 5 baby mamas, 12 kids, and talking about, oh, I ain't got no money. But you sporting a Range Rover. You want to sit here and cut down the pastor for him going into the community, working at the Boys and Girls Club, opening up the doors of the church for after school activities, but then you want to sit here and say, yo, little man, come here. I got $5 for you, be the lookout.
Well, I got a feeling people listening to the radio show, man. I thought we was going in on the pastors. How they end up going in on me? But
hey,
anyway.
It can't be one-sided.
This is equal opportunity going in there on
Thank
me.
Thank you.
But you tapped into something, Raven. What about the pastors that's out here preaching family and uplifting people, whatever, and all that stuff, but they're not doing that in their own household?
Silence of the lambs. I'm going to see if it's a sensitive subject for me. What about the pastors? I've seen pastors. And once again, if this did cross or shoe fits, where it done it? Sorry, I got to
keep
it.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you talking about you going up on the pulpit with your spouse or your wife. So this is my wife, you've been claiming many years. But damn it, I found out it's in the closet.
Oh!
Undercover brothers. That's all I'm saying. And you're telling me how to be morally sound. Now you went from your earlier preaching of saying, you know, listen, to each his own. Me personally, I'm a heterosexual man with a wife and family.
Uh-huh.
My thing is, you can't preach to me and tell me on one end you're being hypocritical about a moral value of the family, but yet you abandon your family because you decide you want to be with another man, or you want to dip and dab with other men.
I'm about to go there. Wait, hold on.
I got to defend some people now, because you can teach somebody about that. You would just be a hypocrite, but you can teach somebody about something you don't practice. I'm sorry, you can't. You just will be a hypocrite in what you're doing, which most parents are. How many times have we said as parents, do as I say, not as I'm going to let y'all finish.
Mm-hmm.
Do as I say, not as I do. And that's the problem that we got going on here. A lot of stuff we teach, and we're right in what we're teaching, but we are just dead wrong in our actions behind what it is that we're teaching. So you can very well teach somebody something that you're not doing or practicing, but you will be a hypocrite, and you will be looked at sideways when you get exposed or they see that you're doing something that you have no business doing. So,
you're absolutely correct, brother. You're 100% correct. But at the end of the day, God can judge me. And for those of the Christian faith, because I'm one, along with my brother and sister here, we are into a higher authority. When you're being hypocrite, you got to stand in front of the man himself and explain your ways. And when that gets opened up.
And that's the problem. See, we tend to judge people as opposed to letting the Bible just do what it's supposed to do. All we're going to do is show stuff in the Bible. It's not our job to say, hey, look at the Bible said this. Why are you doing this? The words of the Bible are strong enough. If you just read it, it will convince somebody's spirit to realize that, oh, man, I shouldn't be doing it. That's why a lot of people don't like to read it. Because it's a mirror. We talked about this whole mirror thing. I've had people that just straight up told me that, yo, I don't read the Bible because whatever I read in the Bible, I'm responsible for. I said, wow. He said, that's why I don't read the Bible, because what I know is what I know. What I don't, you cannot fault me for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather not read it at all. I was like, wow, that is interesting. So a lot of people fear it. I'm telling the word of the Bible, man, that's why they say it's a sword. The word is powerful in itself. We don't need to tell people what they're doing or what they shouldn't be doing or stop doing this. The Bible will do it itself. That's not our job.
To me, the Bible, I mean, just to me. I mean, I don't know the Bible from back and forth. I don't. I'll be the first to say that.
I don't either.
It's been torn up, put around, redone. I get that. But to me, the values and what's in the Bible, what I've learned of the Bible, it gives me a blueprint. I call it a blueprint of trying to live a rightful life. But we as humans, we have the right of choice, and we are faced with many temptations. And so it's like all these adversities, but then I go to the Bible and say, you know what, I got to be right. These are values. You know, it's like right and wrong. Like, kind of like, you know what, you know, it says, now, does it say don't kill or don't murder? You know, you see what I'm saying? I had a debate with somebody from the hood. They were like, well, technically, this guy was in the lockdown for many, kept it real. He says something about, I believe he said in the Bible, it says actually do not murder. And he kind of got deep with me. We got deep on the whole subject. He says, you know, brother, you got to defend your family. Somebody got to go. They got to go. Then he went into, and he knew the Bible. He knew the Bible, but he was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. And but, we really went in.
Since we're going to go in and we want to get philosophical, let's do that. As far as the Ten Commandments are concerned, the reason why the Ten Commandments were written was to help people realize that they could not do what the Ten Commandments told us to do. This is exactly why the Ten Commandments were written. The reason why the Ten Commandments were written is so that people can start comparing their lives to these set of rules to help them realize how weak we were in our flesh to force us to go to God. Now, where's the evidence in that? God gave you the Ten Commandments, and then right after that, it says, if you cannot do this or you slip up on any of these commandments, you go and find a pure animal or whatever and provide me a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If God felt that we can do what it is that he told us to do in the Ten Commandments, why did he feel the need to give us a plan B when we slipped up?
Did you say the plan B?
So if he felt we could do it, he would just say, follow my commandments. If you don't, that's it. That's not the way it went down. Follow my commandments. If you slip up, you have to go find an animal and provide me a sacrifice. Now, this was to get our minds right to start following these practices and realizing how weak we were so that we can say, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do this by myself, which is why he sent the ultimate sacrifice, his son, himself, down to the earth so that he can save us of all of our sins. Because we could not do that as human beings. It was impossible for us to do it as human beings. So he sent his son Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the one to show us that it can be done only through him. And then after he was gone, he was the ultimate sacrifice, the last sacrifice that we had to make for our sins and not being able to follow those commandments.
The ultimate sacrifice.
The ultimate sacrifice. The last sacrifice. We don't have to go through any pastors or any kind of preachers to get to God anymore. That's why the veil dropped when Jesus was killed. Because the division between us and the Father was no longer there. Jesus came to bring us right back to the beginning, back to the Garden of Eve. In the Garden of Eve, Adam and Eve had a direct connection with God. After Adam and Eve, they bit into the forbidden fruit, we immediately lost connection with God. And the whole Bible is to get our connection back. And when Jesus came, it brought us right back to the beginning of the Bible, where we have a relationship with God. Please, now, any pastors, any reverends, please question me on this. Please. That is the ultimate story. God, just like a lot of people are like, dang, man, how can God get the glory out of this? Oh, matter of fact, I'm glad we brought that up.
Uh-oh.
Us people are saying, oh, why me? Or how is there a God when there's so much dying and killing or whatever? Let's go into that.
Mm.
That's evidence that there is a God. Huh? What does that mean? If because of all this killing and stuff, and that is evidence that there is a God. How is that so? Okay, because God's word is to allow us to have our own train of thought, right? He does not make us do, say, or think anything, correct? Anybody?
Correct.
That's right.
We have free will, right.
Okay.
He gave us
free will. We choose evil.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones that are doing the killing. If God stopped us from killing, what did he do? What did he stop us from doing or having? Free will.
Yep.
So he allows us to make a decision. We decide to kill. We decide war. We decide. So because he loves us so much, he allows us to have our free will, but unfortunately we make the bad decision. So he's crying and upset every single day because of our bad decision, but he cannot allow us to be puppets because it's in his word to give us free will.
Yep.
So he loves us enough to give us our own decisions. We just make the wrong ones.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, so when you say, how can there be a God when there's so much war and evil and all that stuff like that? Because he loves you enough not to make you a puppet and make you do everything that he says that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
mm-hmm.
why. So this mm-hmm. answers y'all question about, oh, if there's a God, why is there so much killing and murder and child molestation? Because he lets you make a decision. That's why.
Exactly.
He loves you enough to be your own person. He loves you enough to go out and say, hey, son, you're your own self. Leave this house. You got to make your own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
With your decisions come consequences.
Exactly.
But you want to call mm-hmm. him a father. You want to call
exactly.
him a father, but you got a problem with the way he run his household.
Mm.
Mm. Mm.
Not only that, but just to add on, and this is one of the things I like to always say as I guess my thing to say, is there's so many people out here who are sheep-minded, but there's no shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you sit here, just to add on and piggyback on what you said, Edward, is we have free will. We have free mm-hmm. will of thinking. We have free will of doing. But then you want to follow the crowd that's doing that and not thinking
mm-hmm.
for yourself. So basically,
yeah.
you gave up your free will to follow the people who's doing the murdering, the robbing, the killing, the selling
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
pushing
mm-hmm.
of the drugs
yeah.
when
yeah.
you had a free will and free mind to say, you know what, this ain't what I want to do. I want to
mm-hmm.
live. I want to do something else. But you want to follow them to fit in instead
mm-hmm.
of being a shepherd and leading the pack to say, you know what, let's do something different. Let's do this.
You know what, so you're absolutely correct, because I think last week Eddie said the same. We talked about the same exact thing, you know, hating the fact that people talk about a problem but not being proactive or being
mm-hmm.
a
oh,
solution.
Oh, good. Taking
on
my nerves.
It ties right in exactly what you're saying. Being the shepherd, you know, stop talking about the damn problem. You know, hey, listen,
yep.
you're being judgmental, but you didn't take the time to... How you say, Eddie, pick up the Bible, learn about it. You know, don't be so quick to judge... that pastor. You don't know what this man does. This man saves lives. This man,
oh,
you know,
my God.
This man or
that.
Woman save lives.
Let me tell you something.
Get
this title myth out of your head. A pastor is still a human being.
Hello.
That is still
Hello.
A problem.
Hello.
A pastor is still a human being. Can't
Hello.
See your boobs hanging out just like a regular dude that's not a pastor
mm.
see your boobs hanging out. And they probably
mm.
thinking the same thing. Damn.
Mm.
What is going on with that? They're human beings. How do you think how do you think the pastor gets a family? What do you think they're doing? You think they're their wives? Every pastor's wife's name is Mary? Come on, man. Y'all killing me, man. I don't understand what it is. That's a matter of fact, that should be our next topic, man, after this whole relationship thing, man. Titles, man, because people take titles and they just create these
mm-hmm.
different different things in their mind that causes them to assume things that are not reality. And it causes people to put people on a pedestal. These pastors are people. And again, if a pastor is a pastor of your church, and prior to him getting convicted for the crime or whatever it is that he did, he led you to Christ, he led you to church, he led you to your relationship with God, and he slips up and you automatically like, oh my gosh, I'm done with church, I quit, that church experience just ruined my whole life. You never had a relationship with God in the first place. You had a relationship with the pastor. You were worshiping the pastor.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I needed to hear
you.
You
was in church for the wrong reason.
Reasons, yep.
Now, I had to give you applause for that one, brother, because I just can't stand, and I say this with a cold heart, I can't stand that people put the pastor of God. Stop it. If you hear me, if you're doing it, stop it. The pastor's not God. He's not God. Your relationship is personal. Your relationship with God is personal. It's personal, personal, personal. You can't be in church, you know, with an alternative motive. You really got the pastor. Whatever the pastor says, the pastor this, pastor that. Listen, hold on. Get right with God first. At the end of the day. And I'm talking for me. I'm not a person to claim I know everything, because I don't. I don't know everything. I'm just a humble brother, and I try to be as real as possible I can be. And I try to look at life as real. Because, you know, my thing is I like to help those in the hood. I like to help our community, because that's who needs to help. That's who needs to help. I want to help those who can't get out there and reach out to committed the pastor. I'm gonna help those who's down on the ground bleeding. I'm a warrior. I'm a soldier, and that's just me personally, Brother Eddie. That's who I am. That's what I've always been. But when I hear people put the pastor above God, and they'll say it just like that, pastor, do right. He said, well, damn. You know, what about God in this last conversation? You know, that many conversations of Pastor C. Wright said. Or Pastor Do Good said this. Oh, yo, you never mentioned God one time, bro. Or sister, come on now, stop it. Don't God in the conversation at some point.
But on the same token, pastors, you need to do the same thing. My church is the first church that I've attended, whereby I hear the pastor say, whoa, don't get it twisted. This ain't me. You need to be worshiping God and clapping for God. Don't clap for me. You're not here for me. It's pastors that need to redirect the crowd and show them who they are. But at the same token, there's a lot of pastors that like that whole they worship me feeling, and they create an environment to where they are the ones getting worshiped. And why in the world are people, hold on, the pastor has to eat, and let me make him a plate, and all that is ridiculous.
I've seen it.
It's crazy.
Make sure the pastor eat first. Like, excuse you? Let the women and the children eat first.
So I'm like, come on, man. Come on now. Jesus was washing feet. What are you doing? See, that's the problem, man. People don't realize, oh, my goodness, man, this can go on for days, not hours. Jesus was washing feet. What are you doing as a pastor? What are you doing as a person that's walking? See, people don't realize Jesus was he was the epitome of a king, but not the king that we have. So the same thing is going on, the kings that we are accustomed to. See, Jesus came here to show people what it looks like in heaven. You get to heaven, you are the highest person by the most serving that you do. This is why we are well on our way. I'm going to tell you that right there, Nas, because we are about serving and helping people. That's what Jesus is about, serving. He was a king, but he served. He was a servant leader. It's the difference between a leader and a servant leader. He was a servant leader. In our minds, a leader or a king is somebody that is served and they got all of the fancy jewels or whatever. No, he flipped that whole thing upside down and did the exact opposite. And it's like, no, this is how you do. This is how we are to serve each other. We are to take care of one another. What was y'all two talking about? You talking about who going to be on the left-hand side of me, who going to be on the right-hand side of me? No, the person that's going to be with me is the person that serves people the most. Jesus was checking people. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? That's what y'all talking about? Oh, y'all got it wrong. Y'all got it wrong. No, you want to follow me? You got to be ready to die, son. Exactly. Y'all talking about y'all fellas and y'all got, because y'all got shot in the back. That means you was running. Go for it. Let me see some bullet wounds in the front, son. Let me see. Hey, you really down for me. You know what I mean? So.
You got deep on me now. Listen, Brother Eddie said this. He said, hold on. First of all, those in the Christian faith, Jesus washed feet. Think about
that's the one job.
Yeah, listen. And where's the Jesus washing feet? Washing feet. Hey, ask your pastor, you want to wash my feet?
Exactly.
You don't wash my feet. He looks like you, nigga, you lost your mind.
Exactly.
Think about it. Jesus said this. Well, Jesus washed my feet, Pastor. What's good? I had a hard day at work. Or you wouldn't wash my feet.
They didn't have sneakers and socks like us. They had sandals. That was the slave's job to wash people's feet when they first walked into the daggone room. But check this out. Peter's like, whoa, what are you doing, man? I can't let you wash my feet. Lord, what are you doing? That's like the worst job you could do. But did he say, hey, no, I got that. Let me wash him for me. He ain't pull his feet back and say, I'll do it. He say, hey, you washing on his feet, that's the problem. We got so many people that's like, Lord, oh, my gosh, I can't let you wash my feet. But nobody says, I'll wash people's feet for you. I can't have you doing that, Lord. What you doing? Nobody want to do the dirty work. Nobody want to serve. But they'll let somebody serve them.
We got a special co-host coming in. Is this, who's on the line right now? I think we got our special guest co-host in the line.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want
to say
the lovely Miss Toni Shannon. She's joining us.
Hey, girl.
How you doing, sweetie?
Hey, girl. See, y'all have me over here crying right now. Did he say you got shot in the back because you was running? I just can't. How y'all over there doing? How's
Wonderful.
Shadow World
How
doing?
We're keeping it real about faith. It's real. It's real talk about faith. Real talk.
He said you got shot in the back because you was running. I'm done. I really can't. Hi, babies.
Hey, girlfriend.
How you doing?
let me just reintroduce to those. This is Toni Shannon. She's Toni Shannon of the Chatterbox New Jersey show that we had the successful in 2012. She will be coming back. Toni had to take care of some business, but this topic meant a lot to her, and she said, look, man, I need to be on this one with Brother Eddie. Oh, yeah, Brother Eddie, she says she loves you to death. Loves what you do.
Love. Thank you, sweetie.
Love.
I appreciate that.
But y'all
thank
have
you
to,
so much.
You know, at the end of the day, we're in the middle of a blizzard. So I couldn't hear half of anything that was going on because I was down. So y'all tell me, just give me a brief 2 seconds, what happened?
That's an understatement.
Ooh, I don't think we can do it in 2 seconds.
Two minutes.
Can't happen.
But we can tell you what it's basically around. We talk about everything about from hypocrisies and faith to the phoniness in church. He said, I'm going to let y'all talk. I'm going to take my notes. And once he opened that game, game time.
We talk about
the reverse judging from the pulpit. To the people in the street judging by the
Now, sir.
But he said, this thing can go all day.
See? Let me tell you something. I dated a preacher. No. And he would preach your panties off your ass early. Don't go on that subject. I'm not going to touch it. I ain't going to say nothing about it. I'm going to leave that alone. y'all got me doing this Harlem Shake right now. I ain't going to touch it. I ain't going to do it. But, baby, if y'all talking about politics in church,
See, we ain't going there yet.
Baby, there was a bishop. His name, I ain't going to say the name. But anywho, I can say what I want to say. Hello.
Yes, you can.
Baptized Holiness. And he used to have the money in the hubcaps of the car.
Wow.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, yeah, church is basically like a job. But at the end of the day, you get so paid. I've been there, done it. I've seen a whole bunch. I was the secretary of, SOP. Yeah. It's a lot.
We're gonna leave
Jesus alone.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, you from your perspective, do you find that there's a lot of everyday people, and then in the rest of the panel, you chime in, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of everyday people. They say God bless you, the Lord says this, but yet they're the first ones to throw their big ass boulders and rocks at glass houses.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. Let me tell you something.
You would think they had a big behind a tree or whatever you want to call it, and just concrete on rocks and glass houses, but they're the first one to say, well, Lord is good. God bless you, sister and brother.
You can't judge me if you can't judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't judge me if you can't judge yourself. Thank you, therapist. You can't judge me if you can't judge yourself. You can't. At the end of the day, we all are destined for a destiny. And at the end of the day, we have to live our lives the way we are destined to be. We get sidetracked. Once we get sidetracked, at the end of the day, you were born for a reason and for a season. And once your season is over, you'll know the reason why you were born.
Mm-hmm.
It can be just to say, I don't want to do this, and you become someone that God has destined for you to be. But at the end of the day, we have to live our lives the way God destined them to be.
Regardless of being judged.
Okay. I have my past. I don't never deny my past, but my past is my past. It ain't none of your damn business. At the end of the day, what happens is we have to own up to our past, what we did, and grow. Not be, a bastard about it. Bastard about it.
Are you saying nice words now right now? Because I've heard you say some other words before.
I'm not cursing. It's the weekend. I don't curse on the weekends. But we have to learn that when life gives us lemons, we make lemons.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that come into your lives only to destroy it. Those are what you call demons.
Go ahead, girl.
People come into your lives and they play your friends and everything else, and then at the end of the day, they never were your friends. They want to destroy your life for the simple reason because their lives are unhappy. They have nothing. So you move on because you're that person that grows bigger. When they destroy you, your life will try to destroy you. Let me say it again. At the end of the day, you become a person that God touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And that's what you have to do with your life now. It's always, you're blessed for a reason and for a season. And when the season is over, you know the reason why.
Well, that's a big amen on that one, sister.
So, at the end of the day, Tony Shannon in the Chatterbox of New Jersey is so blessed.
And that's all he can be. Now, brother, I'm sorry, Sister Sonya first. What are your thoughts on that? What is your thoughts on people judging you and also throwing, you know, they're the same ones yelling, hey, listen, you know.
They don't have a life.
God bless you.
They don't have a life.
Sister, brother, you know, and they're the same
they
ones.
They broke. They mad. They use
well, as
people.
I said earlier, you know, those are the ones that will never take the time to sit down to talk to me and figure out who I am. Sit down to talk to me to learn my struggle. Sit down to talk to me to see exactly what direction I'm going in. But you want to judge me and you want to sit and talk about me and gossip about me because of what I'm driving, what I'm wearing, where I live, what I do. Okay? You want to sit there and talk about the tangible, but not the intangible. You don't want to talk about my character and my spirit, but you want to talk about what you see in your reality. You don't know what my reality is. You don't know what my struggle is. But yet and still, it makes you feel better when you call me bougie. When you sit there and you talk about the fact that, oh, yeah, she a lukewarm Christian. You know, you don't know what my personal struggle is. You don't know what my personal relationship with God and Jesus is. Like I said earlier in the show, I was raised in the church. And the one thing my mother told us, my mother told us, me and my brothers, she said, when you get out on your own, while you living in my house, you go to church every Sunday,
I got something for you, Raven. We went to church on Tuesday. Wednesday was choir rehearsal. Thursday, youth church. Friday, youth service. And we went to church on 4 days a week.
And my mother told us, when you leave my home, it's up to you to continue your walk with God. It's up to
you
with your foundation of your relationship that I introduced you to. So it's up to us. So, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say I am a sinner. I was born a sinner. So I'm not going to sit here and pass judgment on other people, which I do. Like I said, I stand up here in front of the class. You know, hello, my name is Sonya, and I'm a sinner, and I judge people. But at the same time, I take the time to figure out who that person is. Try to figure out where they're going, what they struggle. Listen to their story, where people don't do that to me. You know, then the other thing that I've seen people do to me, because I can't speak for everybody, but what has happened to me is where people sit and talk or tell me to my face where they have the audacity to do, and, well, you don't go to church enough now. Okay, but you don't know my personal relationship outside the church with God. You know, so you can't sit there and tell me I don't have a personal relationship with God. You don't know what my personal relationship is. But you want to pass judgment because I don't get up and go to church every Sunday from sun up to sundown or get in the car and go with everybody to visit everybody else's churches.
But
no,
you know,
I don't do that.
You know, the crazy part about
and then,
that.
And then you have people that sit there and say to me in my faith, well, you don't know the Bible. Okay, I may not know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, but dag nabbit, I've been to Bible study. I have my Bible, so it is nothing for me to sit here to crack it open and read when I need to look for my blueprint, as we said earlier. When I need direction, I know where to go.
I don't need to go to the church and fall on the altar, Lord, help me. No, Jesus said that all you have to do is talk to me,
talk to
the Father,
pull
up your Bible. The rule, the tools, and the resources is right there in the Bible. So I don't need to go and sit there in front of the pastor's face and fall out all over the altar, run all up and down the damn aisle. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. But you want to sit here and judge me because I don't put on my nice, fancy white hat, my shoes, and roll up in the church and sit up in the front of the pulpit with the deacons and the trustees. But yet still, you don't know my personal relationship with God. But you want to judge me on the fact that I don't do that. You want to sit here and judge my character because I don't sit here and, you don't do that for the church. You know you're supposed to do that if you're a Christian. You don't know the fact that when my church calls me to come and do a workshop for the youth, I'm right there. I don't ask for money. What you need me to do? I'm right there. They know me. But you want to sit here and pass judgment on me because I don't go to church every day, every Sunday, or get in the car with the rest of y'all and visit all these other churches? Come on. No. But you want to sit here and judge me because, again, just because I lived in Brick City, born and raised, I moved out of the community because of the betterment of myself because I was truly blessed for him to say, yes, my child, it's time for you to move to the next level. And I did that. And I'm doing it. But you want to sit here and judge me, she ain't from the hood. She don't know nothing. Hold up. Brick City, born and raised product here. Come on now. I'm just like brother man from the fifth floor. Come on.
How you doing?
Brother,
I need a mayonnaise sandwich.
Our sister is very passionate about that situation.
I know that I got a little heated. I'm sorry. Let me bring it down.
I want you to oosa.
Let me woosa. That bugs me to no end because you want to pass judgment on me because I walk in to a place. I know. Oosa.
All right.
I used to get him at church.
I used to tell him, I'll cuss you out in church. I'll be walking out to you, kiss my ass. How about that? What you want to do? I did my thing, and it wasn't against God, because I used to go to church. Let me tell you something. I went on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. We made two albums on my church. Okay? Bishop Simmons, I love. But at the end of the day, I was real with my game. I didn't let anyone disrespect me, use me, or lie to me. At the end of the day, I did all of it. You know? Mm-hmm. So what we have to do, churches have changed. It's about money. It ain't about saving souls no more.
That's not all churches, but I understand
what you're saying. It's not all churches. Because I wish I could find a church that I felt my spirit.
I didn't have to say,
I got to act like somebody else and be uppy-duppy. Yeah, uppy-duppy or extra. I wanted to feel my spirit when I went into my church. There's not too many churches. If I have to come down south, please let me know because I want to feel my soul.
I got a great church for you to come. But let's tap in on that because I noticed we bring
on,
up the fact
Sally,
that churches.
Tell me where I can
come
to for a weekend.
Oh, come to Gethsemane Community Fellowship Baptist Church down here in Norfolk, Virginia. We would gladly have you.
We
got to
go
there's Norfolk, VA. I shout my church out all day, but just to get into on this whole topic of churches being a business, yes, it takes money for a church to They are. I agree. But I need y'all to. I agree with you. What else you need me to say to bring what you're saying? But understand this, because a lot of people say church is a business, but I need y'all to understand that only 20% of the people that go to church pay their tithes. 80% of the people don't. So it's a lucrative business, but it's not what a lot of people. I mean, a lot of the people that's complaining about it being a business or paying all their money aren't paying money. And the church is sustaining itself through the grace of God without their money. So let's keep it funky. Most people that's talking about spending the money ain't spending money. They might be going up there and putting a dollar in. That ain't 10%. And if it's 10% of what you got going on, I'm going to leave it at need to get your life together. You need to get your grind. You need to step your grind way up. Throwing y'all little dollars up and throwing it in the what you call it, like y'all really doing something with y'all money, sacrificing stuff. Y'all might see. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Y'all might see some better blessings being poured down for you if you trust in God and invest in His house. But I understand people feeling that the pastors are not doing what they should be doing, which is a lot of times not the case. I mean, a lot of times, DK, they're not doing what they should be doing with that money, because that should be a church. You know, I mean, you got a lot of people that will scratch your eyes out about y'all talking bad about the money that people are putting in the church, because they're going to the church and they're getting canned goods and food and a place to sleep at in the wintertime, because they're opening up the church to pay the light bills and give the people, the homeless, heat and stuff like that. So I've seen firsthand what the money from the church is doing in communities when it's doing done the right way. But again, even with that, it's only 20%. of the people that are paying for that quote-unquote business. And since I was never asked, I'm going to answer the question anyway. As far as people judging me prior to, I appreciate those people, because, for one, they clearly feel that I'm an important individual to take their time to think about me and judge. I appreciate every person that judges me, because they clearly feel I'm an important individual. Matter of fact, they are students of me, because they're studying me so hard to understand who I am, to try to speak articulately about me as a person. So please continue to study me, because I will eventually rub off on you, and you will become something. At that point in time, you are a student of me, and eventually when you continue to study me, you will grow into be a better person. So I don't get caught up in people judging me. I appreciate the fact that I have that many eyes viewing me. So continue to judge me, because that means you're watching me, and eventually I'm going to rub off on you, because you can't just be around something. And you can't sit in a barbershop and not eventually get a haircut. So continue to come on. Come on and judge me and look at me, because, again, that means you're watching.
He said you can't eventually stay in the barbershop and not get a haircut. Okay, on that note, y'all.
I love
you guys. Y'all are doing a great job. He said you cannot be in the barbershop eventually and not get a haircut. I am done. I love you guys, and y'all keep it going.
Take care,
y'all. That's funny. He said you cannot. I'm going to post that on Facebook. You can't eventually. You cannot sit in barbershop and not get a haircut. I am done.
That's it. Tony, I'll talk to you later.
Shadow, Maddie, I love you more. Baby, y'all are crazy. Go service, right. Call me in the morning. I have some things to talk about. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yo, my God. That, you know what? You didn't give, once again, you gave me another perspective to look at being judged. For those listening, I think that's the ultimate lesson here at the end of the day. If someone's judging you, they're becoming students of who you are. They're taking the time to study you,
mm-hmm.
about you that they want to know about, that they're so intrigued that they invoke their life around you to judge you. I think you nailed that, brother. I mean, didn't the analogy with the barbershop, even though I'm a bald man, I'm not kidding. I think, man, you know, that speaks. I mean, I never really looked at it like that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of my brothers in New York, New Jersey, Virginia, North Carolina is going to check in. My man, T, can't forget my man, Mike Ellis, down in South Jersey. He's checking in. Got to, I want to say to everybody, I think that's real talk right there, bro. How you feeling with that? That's deep. The barbershop. Even though I miss my hair. Even though you got me sentimental over here, wanting some road game, that's real talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's real talk. I never really thought about it like that. And I'm pretty sure, me and along with a couple other brothers and sisters can relate to that. When you ain't judged, that's somebody that really went out their damn way. I don't think you're doing this, but why are you so worried about what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you studying my every move? Dad, I know she's looking at my lady a little too tight. She looks nice in that dress, don't she? Why you hating on my ride? I'm fishing this nice car. Yeah, I live in the house. You live in a better area. Oh, you forgot where you're from. No, you study me because you want to be where I'm at.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate to that, bro. So I gotta definitely give you a stand away from me in a rest with God. I love you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's real talk. I think from now on, when someone judges me, I'm like, thank you because you want to be. Don't hate me. Some people don't hate me because don't hate me because you hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate me because you hate me. I say that because there's a couple of listeners checking out the show, Eddie and Sonya, that need to hear that. They need to hear, they've been judged, they've been ridiculed, they've been frustrated, and they don't know how to properly deal with it. And I think, I think someone said earlier that you turn lemons into lemonade. I think that was like the perfect analogy. And when you said that barbershop analogy, I was done. That was it. I got the mic off stage. I was like, what, the barbershop? But then you thought about it, you're like, that makes sense. Hold up. Or you go to the beauty salon, for the ladies, you go to the beauty salon. How you going to go in and get your hair did?
Exactly.
So, once again, everybody, when it comes to telling the show, I just want to say, once again, I appreciate my brother Eddie here, as my man. This is without him, I couldn't do this. This is his show.
Come on,
this,
man.
Listen, just take it, bro. This is what God gives, man. Listen, this is Brother Edward Fairley's show as well as Mr. Nash. We're partners, and I support him 110%. And, of course, man up don't mean just about the men. It's about man up and just life in general. And that's why I have to thank Miss the lovely Miss Sonya. And, of course, Tony, I know you're listening. without you ladies and just having a big open discussion and putting your views on the table, it helps out a lot of people. I'm getting texts right now from a couple of cats in Brooklyn. I got my friends out in South Jersey. I got somebody from Ohio. I don't know who you are, Jay. Jay. He said he's going to appreciate it. Tell Brother Eddie he's going to get the top of the book.
Thanks, man. Thank
he's
you.
He's out of Ohio. He's on the top of the book. Hold up. He wants me to send him a CD. Okay. We talk outside of here. All right. We can do that later. But, this is real talk. I really appreciate you guys. This was a really good subject. And we could have went on for a lot longer, to tell you the truth, because you guys
yeah.
came on. You pissed off some people, but like you said before, so what? What the hell?
Please get offended.
Absolutely. Eddie, if you don't mind, the listeners want to know a little bit more about you. I didn't do that last week. We didn't get a chance to touch on that.
I hate doing this, man. This ain't about me.
No, listen. Except, you talk outside of here. sometimes you gotta accept the blessings and what God put forward for it. I tell you, listen, man, I'm with you. You said the way I do it, stay consistent. And brother, you provide a lot of people, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
You reach different other lives, showing you've been a true blessing. Like, God don't make mistakes, you know. You know, when we did our broadcast in the beauty salon, it was there for me to meet Sonya. And then we did a live broadcast, you know, with Tony. And ever since then, you know, and just to let you know, brother, last week's show, we reached over 700 listeners just in 1 week.
I don't even know what that means, but I hope that's a good thing or a blessing.
It's a good thing.
As Jay-Z said, the streets is watching, brother. They're watching, and you know, and you know, in business and life, you never know who's watching or following you. And I appreciate you, brother. And you know, Miss Sonya, you've been a blessing. You know, you're part of the family. I'm part of your family. It's a network. But you know, you ain't getting off the hook, brother Eddie. You have to explain and tell a brief bio for those listening in the Man Up Talk Show. You got my man Eddie. Please explain to our listeners give them a little bit of who you are and what's going on. And also, next week, we're going to be going into, what's that, relationships topic. Now, I'm going to talk about Eddie outside here, and he's going to spearhead the whole show. I'm there with him, but this is, you know, stay in line with the Valentine's Day, and I think some of us need relationship tips, me included, because, you know, I'm not perfect by long shot. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'll do whatever it takes to become better for my wife and my family. Brother Eddie.
Wow. Yes, sir.
You.
Man, I'm Edward L. Fairley. That's F as in Frank, A-I-R-L-E-Y. The reason why I stress the L is because I have the same name as my father, Edward Fairley. If you Google my name without the L, you'll realize why I stress the L. Interestingly enough, I get to do this while we're on this show because my father was a big-time pastor in New Jersey who's now actually about to go on trial for stabbing a woman 27 times in the face and torso, one of the ministers in his church because what did Tony say? He could preach a woman out of her drawers, so to speak.
Preacher panties.
Yeah. With that being said, he got a little caught up in his emotions with his mistress and caused him to try to kill her for, exposing him in their situation. But that's neither here nor there. That's just to kind of give you an understanding as to why I stress the L in my name. But I am a full-time public speaker and relationship coach. But as you can see, relationships are attached to anything, so I can talk about any topic, but my focal point is relationships, communication and stuff like that. I do coaching sessions. You feel free to get more about me on www.edwardfairley, again, that's F as in Frank, AIRLEY.com. I have a published book out called The Handbook for Increasing Your Relationship IQ, that speaks to the dating phase, to the relationship phase, to and throughout the marriage phase, the different things that we don't realize that we do or don't do that causes issues within those phases, to more of a preventative medicine, but as well as an awareness type of medicine that allows you to realize that, oh, this is why we've been slipping up, or this is why I used to do this, or this is why this caused problems. And with wisdom, you have an ability or the opportunity to make changes and fix things. So it's just a holistic approach to relationships. I'm going to tell you right now, the stuff that the doctors, your celebrities, Steve Harvey and all that stuff, they're teaching you are actually the reasons why you guys are still having issues. Matter of fact, if you're out there buying books about relationships, that means that you clearly didn't get the answers that you were looking for in the books part two. That's why you're still looking. So if you want to read and stop, feel free to read my book, The Handbook for Increasing Your Relationship IQ. And with that being said, you still have opportunities to talk to me one-on-one either via this show, on my website. There's contact information for me there, and we can go back and forth there as well with coaching sections. Sessions. So, again, I'm Edward L. Fairley. I love people, period. I love people, And that is my mission, to build people and give them different perspectives. If you felt that you gained a little bit from me just by listening to me on the show, you've only touched just a small bit of the way I see life and the way which my wife, it frustrates her to no end. I do not get stressed out or frustrated about things because I just have a view on life that does not allow me to stress over just minute stuff, because I'm not here. I'm here physically, but I'm not here where most people see things and view things. So I just want to share that I was born dyslexic, which means God created me to see things differently, but he also made me a communicator. So he allows me to see things differently and successfully communicate it in a way that they can see the same way that I do. So that's just my goal, and I just try to help people to see things so that they can be empowered as opposed to feeling weak, understanding that they're really strong. And I'm going to stop or I'll talk all day.
Tony, oh, my God. Great stuff. I mean, Tony, you got to explain to the listeners about the show that you have every Thursday, that we're also very proud to say that we're the network partner of Raven's Closet, which we have commercial.
I love Raven. I love Raven. She's the reason why I'm on this show. She's one of the first shows that I've ever done that I absolutely love. It's so many people that are biased and just want to force their views on you. She's the only show that I know thus far that you can go on your show and be you without being judged or trying to get you to shift your views. She just wants to hear yours, and she wants to share with the world. So I apologize for cutting into that, but I just needed her to know and understand that that I love her to death, and she's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just before you start, I have to reiterate the same thing. If it wasn't for Miss Sonya Raven, you know, the vision couldn't come where we at right now. Because I usually been the type of person behind the scenes setting things up. But you know what? I think God is awesome, because with the inspiration of Tony, Sonya, and this brother that I love and hate the same time. You know, I see big things and I'm motivated, you know, and once again, I feel like we're in the war again. you guys inspire me to be the best person I could possibly be, and hopefully that with that energy that you guys give me, I can give the other generation or people that I mentor or help out throughout the community, I can, you know, portray the same energy to help them. And hopefully that transcends and have a domino effect, you know. So I thank both of you guys. But sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off, but I want to be sure my appreciation as well. So you want to explain to our listeners, we got about 10 minutes left, a little less than 10. Explain to your listeners about the Raven's Closet show, when the broadcast, and they can check it out. And also, those who check out the show, you can hit the link on www.shadowworld.com. You can catch Raven. You got the my brother right there, Mr. Edward L. Fairley. Emphasize the L. You know, you can get all that on our website. And you can link to any other aspect of two. You want to talk to Eddie, you want to talk to Sonya, you hit, you know, go one stop shopping. But I'm sorry, Sonya, go ahead, explain.
Well, I love you guys too. You know, I tell people, you know, these are my brothers from another mother. So we all in this together as a community. And I love you guys to death. You know, Shadow, you came to me and you said, you know, let's do this. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And when you had the vision for the show, and I knew just the perfect person to do the show. So that's why Edward's on board, which I just love him from day one. You know, Edward and I had this connection from day one, whether he know it or not. And as you said, my show is called Raven's Closet Talk Show. My show's mission is really is to, for us as people, regardless of race, ethnicity regardless. We need to clean out our closet, get rid of the residuals that we are holding on to as crutches, and really look at ourselves in an authentic form and strip away all of that and get down to the bare essence to realize that, number one, we are okay as we are. You have to love yourself, know your self-value, know your self-worth. Regardless of your situation, those are your stepping stones to take you to that next level. Yeah, there may be people that you have to leave behind, but that's okay because God is making room for you to meet new people to take you to the next level. So Amen. It may be hurtful, but at the same time, it's a blessing because you don't know who you're going to meet on the way up, like Edward L. Fairley, like Mr. Nas, like Tony, you know, and so many other people I've met since I started the show. The show has been, right now we're in our second season. I've been on the air since January of 2012, and I am so truly blessed because this is something that I did not come up with. This is something that was, I like to say, impregnated with, that God poured into me one night when I couldn't sleep. And when I don't sleep well, I know God is putting things in my head just going crazy, and I don't know what to make sense of, how to make sense of it. So when I get up the next morning, I'm like, darn, I didn't write that down. But then I go back to sleep, and then he puts it back in my head again. So my show, that is the mission. That is what I've been called to do. I like to say my ministry is to have people really look at their closet, look at the things in their closet. And we all have these different things in our closet, from our shoes, our hats, our coats, everything is, if you look at it from a tangible thing, each of those things represents something. And if you go to my website, www.ravensclosettalkshow.com, you'll see how I laid it out, what every item in our closet means and what it represents for us and in our lives. But the focus is to really get you to clean out your closet, put some things on the curb, let the garbage man come and pick it up so you can move on and have a cleansing, because you can't keep taking the same baggage with you. You know, you sit here, as Edward said earlier, you know, if you reading Steve Harvey's book or Cedric the Entertainer or Monique or whoever, Wendy Williams, if you're reading their books, no pun intended, no disrespect, but if you're reading their books and you still having issues with your relationship, you still having issues with your family, you still having issues with yourself on the job or whatever it is, if you still having issues, that means there's something in your closet that you did not put out to garbage. So it needs to go. You need to let it go in order for you to be whole, prosperous, and happy. I mean, we had a good time today with the topic, but on my show, we take it a step further. As Edward likes to say, I open up Pandora's box. Because it's things that we have to really look at it on the real. And my tagline of my show is focusing intelligence, nurturing excellence with real talk for real adults. And I call it the FINE, F-I-N-E, concept. It's the FINE concept. And my show airs every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's a 90-minute show. Some shows I have guest speakers come on. Sometimes you have me for the full 90 minutes, which, as you could tell, I love to talk. So this is perfect for God to bless me to do this. You could go to my website. As I said, it's ravensclosettalkshow.com. You can email me at ravensclosettalkshow@gmail.com. Coming up this Thursday, we have a very special show for Valentine's Day. We don't have a special guest. I'm going to run the controls, and I'm opening up the phone. Yes.
I'm in the building.
I am opening up the phone lines, the email, Facebook, everything is open up for everyone. If you have a favorite song that you would like to dedicate for Valentine's Day, it has to be your favorite romantic song, your favorite song that gets you in that mood for whatever, you can email me. You can post it on Facebook. I'm on Facebook at Raven's Closet, Raven's Closet on Facebook. If you want to share a special Valentine's Day moment that meant something to you, you can do that on the air. I'm taking dedications, opening up the lines for you to say a special Valentine's to whoever you want to say your special Valentine's to. I'm going to be reading some of my favorite poetry, maybe a nice love story. You know, I'll give you an excerpt of that, as well as I'm also your romance concierge. So if you have a last minute, if you need a last minute idea or a last minute tip, ask me, because I like to consider myself a romantic guru, because I am a hopeless, well, I don't even know if hopeless is the word. Okay, hopeless to the 12th power. I love romance. I am a hopeless romantic. I mean, if there's a topic of romance that I can talk about and be part of, I'm right there. Not only am I a talk show hostess, I am also a life coach. I am also in the process of publishing a book that I've been writing for the past 5 years of short romantic and erotic stories. So I'll probably be reading a couple of stories out of that book on next Thursday. So okay, if anyone who wants to participate, please feel free to share your best romantic moments for Valentine's Day. Dedicate a song. Come on the show and say, you know, I dedicate Valentine's Day to my brothers from another mother. You know, this song goes out to you guys and your family. So everyone is welcome to do that. Like I said, 90 minutes. I'm already sitting here talking to you guys. I got heated, but I was still working at the same time. There's my mind that God, you know, gave me the ability to multitask. Sometimes I triple multitask. So everything is up on the website. I've been sitting here with you guys working on the playlist for the music, you know, my favorites. But I also left room for people to also dedicate what they would like to hear as well. So, and as Edward said earlier, my show isn't about my viewpoint, and it's not about the special guest's viewpoint. It's about everybody's viewpoint. It's for you to open up your mind to receive different viewpoints. It's my show is for you to think about things that you probably never thought of. My show is to give you food for thought. My show is to, as Martin Lawrence used to say, put it on your brain and let it marinate for a minute. You know, think about some things. Think about what you're doing. Think about how you not letting go certain things is affecting you not getting that promotion, is affecting you not having relationships with not only men, but relationship with women. You know, as we sat here and say, I'm using my show as a platform to be as transparent as I can be to let you see my growth and my self-development and how I transform my life. And again, I may have lost some friends along the way, but that's fine, because I know God has opened up room for me to have other people to be part of my life. And sometimes I'd rather not have a whole bunch of friends and have just a few true friends, because those are the ones that will be there for you and not be your dream killers, but be your dream supporters. And that's what we need in our lives, you know. And a lot of people don't see that. A lot of people don't see that if you don't let go of the old and open yourself up and embrace the new, you're never going to go anywhere.
All right. We want to thank everybody for checking out the show. We got about 40 seconds left. We want to thank everybody for checking out the show, and we will see you next week. And we're going to have our brother Eddie with the relationship topic. So check us out. It's going down. So once again, thank everybody coming out. Brother Eddie, Sonya, appreciate you. We have closed out. I got 30 seconds left. Let me do the outro.
Oh, wait. Okay, 30 seconds real quick. After my show on Thursday, don't forget to come over to Shadow World, because we're going to continue the music over there.
Real quick, the show, we're going to have a special Valentine's Day show. It's called Foreplay. Yeah, so check it out. Love songs for the couples. It's going down. So have a good night. We love you, everybody. See you next week.
All right, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Hello? Yeah, what